Welcome back to episode 6 of RMV.
Hey guys, I hope you're all doing great and thanks for tuning in for today's episode.
Today is yet another special episode for us because we have Taylor Fraser from Colorado, Denver.
Taylor is the director of the Forward podcast and a production manager. Her work has appeared in worldwide on Forbes, NBC, the Discovery Channel, and other broadcasting networks. She also played a significant role in the production of her trailers of major films, including Black Panther, Wonder Woman, Jungle Book, and many more.
When Taylor was just 15, she encountered a school shooting. Her podcast, The Forward Podcast, talks about just that, which is about a family story after the tragedy of a school shooting. Check it out. You don't want to miss it.
Yeah, so we wanted to start off by asking about your journey. So what or who inspired you to become a director?
So when I went to college, I had no intention of becoming a director, nor did I know anything about film at all. I was actually studying journalism, and then they closed down the journalism school, and I was like, what do I do? So I took a bunch of random classes, and one of them was film, and I fell in love with it, and I was like, this is it. And I changed my degree the next day. We had watched a foreign film, a French film called Blue, and I'd never seen a foreign film because I grew up in this like little town in the middle of nowhere. And so I saw the film and I was like, this is so cool. And I decided, like, I don't care if I have to live in a cardboard box for the rest of my life, like, I'm gonna be an artist. But actually it's gone well. But that was what initially triggered my interest.
So as a director, you've probably faced so many different types of obstacles. So what type of obstacles have you faced through your journey?
Oh man. Well, film is like just a weird industry in general. Like no matter who you are, it's really, really competitive. There's no like really obvious way of like getting into the industry. But it's especially difficult if you're a young woman, because it's one of those things that like, so I have one degree in film and one in communications, and communications was like 90% women and film was like 90% men. And the same is true in the industry. So you'll be on set and they'll be like, one woman and everybody else is a man. And so it can be, you know, intimidating to figure out like, okay, where is my place in this world? And you know, that can be challenging and it just takes a lot of determination. It's one of those fields that a lot of people who work in film have like an in, like their parent worked in film or something, but I didn't. So if you're in that boat, then you just have to be really creative and go, okay, how do I weasel my way into interesting opportunities? You have to be willing to work really hard and for not a lot of money for a certain amount of years in order to like get your foot in the door, you know what I mean? What did the two of you want to study?
Well, I have no idea, and like it's really stressing me out because, you know, I'm going to senior year next year, we both are. So I'm right now I'm choosing between like science and medicine and like computer programming. So I'm going to experiment more in the summer to see.
Very exciting. That'll be another one of those fields that you'll be like the only woman in some of your classes and that'll feel weird.
Yeah, but exactly. My dad was saying the same thing, like in the computer science field, there's not that many women. So it's like, he's like, you know, we need more women in that field. So I think it's also a good opportunity if you want to go. And I'm like, absolutely. Yeah, that's interesting.
And the other thing is like, you don't have to know what you want to do when you start college. Like, I think that's a really like toxic rumor because nobody really knows, like no one knows at 18 what they want to do for the rest of their life. I mean, I'm 30 and a lot of my friends don't know what they want to do yet. So it's like, you know, it just takes time. What about you? What do you want to study?
So I wanted to study computer science. Like my dad's an engineer too. So he was also saying the same thing, like, you know, there should be women in the, you know, science field, like in
absolutely
programming. So my dad was saying how, like, you know, we should have that diversity is really important. And a lot of companies, you know, they're looking for such diversity because, you know, with diversity, we have like so many different minds instead of being like, you know, specific to one ethnicity or group, it's not going to be, you know, it's not going to be successful. So yeah, for me,
absolutely. Totally agree with you. And I think the same is true in the film industry. I mean, the film industry, like we get to dictate what stories are told, right? So if it's all like middle-aged white guys, then those are the stories we hear and that's all. And that's sad because there's so many other interesting stories that we should be hearing and you only get that with diverse perspectives. So I think that the same is true in any industry. That's cool. Yeah. That's really great that you guys are both going to study in that world.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm still looking to it. Like, as you said, like, I guess the first year of college, you can still experiment, but I'm getting like so stressed. I have no idea what I want to do. So many of my friends already chose their paths. I'm like, and I'm still here. Like,
They're going to change their minds. They don't know it yet, but they will change their minds. And that's okay. I mean, I went into college. You can declare as many majors as you want. So I just declared a double major in like two different things. And I was like, maybe. And then you can get into those classes. So it behooves you to like pick something that's interesting, but you can literally like you just sign a paper to change it. So, you know, don't stress about that. And your core classes are all the same anyway. So it doesn't really matter what your degree is. They're going to make you take all the basics anyway.
That's true.
Yeah, so I heard you worked in the Oceanic Preservation Society, and I think it was in the logistics department, so.
Yeah, I worked as a producer, which you're right, that is logistics. So you're kind of the person who's like herding the cats and figuring out like, okay, so like 15 filmmakers who are vegans want to go to a cannibal island in Sri Lanka. How do we make that happen? So my job is like, we get them visas, we get them embargoes, like where are they going to eat dinner? How are we going to get their equipment on a boat, and how are we going to waterproof it? Who are they going to interview? What are we going to ask them? What shirt is that person going to wear? That's what
it does.
And yeah, so my career started there, and they made the movie called The Cove. I don't know if you ever saw that. It's about the dolphin slaughter in Taiji, Japan. So that's a heavy, pretty depressing documentary. And so they were kind of ending that as I started. And I started, and we were working on a film called Racing Extinction. And it was about like climate change and why are so many animals going extinct. So that was cool because we got to go talk to some of the best climate scientists in the whole world. And that was amazing. And then my career kind of took me in other directions, but I still got to work on their most recent project called The Game Changers, which is about vegan athletes. So that was super interesting too. That was not something I knew anything about. So that was fun to jump into that.
Yeah, that's very interesting how you got to work with people around the world too. I think that's very cool.
Yeah.
Communication is such a huge part of your job too, because you have to like talk to so many people. I think that's very important too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you're the kind of person who likes to coordinate stuff and like work with challenging personalities, then that's the job for you. But if you if you don't like that, you know, maybe pick a different, like when you're in film school, there's all these different things they have you study. And so you kind of, most people pick one of like, I want to be a director or a producer or an editor or whatever. But if you live in Colorado, there's not a lot of film industry here. So you're kind of expected to be able to do all of it as kind of a one man band. So you learn like a little bit of everything. And throughout my career, I've gotten to do a little bit of everything, which has been really cool.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Yeah, go ahead. No, I was going to ask, so do you make trailers for like films like Beauty and the Beast, things like that?
Yeah, when I was living in Los Angeles, I worked for a movie trailer house. And in Los Angeles, it's really different than Colorado because you do have to specialize. So everybody at my company pretty much was an editor. And there were like hundreds of us, big companies. So I did get to work on those projects. Everybody plays a different role. Generally, I was working in like kind of the more technical pieces of the process, but sometimes we would have a network send something in. Like I got to edit all of the Fargo season 3, because it would come in as just like a million clips and they were completely disorganized. You can't make a trailer when there is no show. So like I got to do the rough draft edit of the whole season so that my boss could take it and make it into something like really cool. So, you know, I'd get to take a first whack at it and be like, what do you think of this? And then someone who has 20 years of experience makes it even cooler. And so it was really neat, because, and then there's somebody else's job as a kind of producer role who's coordinating between like our company and like Disney, let's say, and figuring out, well, what is it that they want and how do we communicate that in what we're making? So yeah, I did get to work on trailers, and that was really fun, because working on documentaries, often you have like a bunch of like kind of weird shots that are like, I guess this will work, because a lot of the time you're like working on the run, and so you just get what you get. And when you're working on a trailer for something like Beauty and the Beast, you have like 2 hours of beautiful content, and yeah, then you narrow it down to like a minute. So you pick the most beautiful of the most beautiful. And so, you know, it ends up being like, it's a pretty cool job.
Yeah, it is. It's a cool job. And also like the trailer is what brings, like, you know, gets everyone's attention. So like mm-hmm. the trailer has to be good, so people, you know, want to watch the movie.
Totally, yeah. Definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like its own like little mini movie. And I don't know about you guys, but whenever I go to a movie theater, I love watching the trailers. It's one of my favorite parts.
Yeah, I love watching all the different trailers too.
Yeah, it's weird because like it's a pretty creative process. So depending on what choices the editors are making, maybe the trailer is exactly like the movie and you really know what you're getting into. Or maybe they make it something totally different. So there was a movie with Jennifer Lawrence a few years ago called Passengers. And it was like, I'm trying to remember, in real life, I think it was kind of like a sci-fi thriller, like kind of scary, but the trailer made it look like, oh, this lovely chick flick, it's so cute. And then you watch it and you're like, ah. So it's it's like, you can also be like really manipulative. Like film is a weird medium that you can, I don't know, I think people think of it as, even documentary people think of it as like, oh, this is objective, and it's like, no, it's not. Because if I choose to put you in a frame where it's real tight or like really far away, or like I change how powerful you look, if I choose to edit in the question where you said something really smart, or I pick the moment where you said something weird and I make you look dumb, like, you know, like you have a lot of power as a filmmaker. Like some people use it responsibly and some people don't, and sometimes they just use it for advertising purposes to make good money.
Yeah, that's very interesting. That's so true, because sometimes the trailer will give off the wrong idea. Like it's like maybe it's like a whole like thriller thing, but you go to the movies, it's actually a whole comedy thing, and we're like, what is this?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Exactly. And it depends on what the studio thinks will make money.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's also that. Yeah, it's also a lot of work to you know, like pick the good parts, the best parts for people to get their attention to.
Totally. And that's part of the trailer making process. Like there's like a team of people, and that is their job, is to go through a movie and pick every moment where someone goes, ah, oh, wow. Like, and then you put them all in a row. And then there's another section that says, my name is so-and-so, or like, hi, I'm la la la. And then those all go in a row. And so there's this very formulaic way of like, these are the pieces we need. And then you put them in an order that makes them cool. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, that's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, I've always wondered, you know, like how is the trailer making process, like they are, because I know it does take a really long time. And for me too, when I like book the tickets for a movie, I always watch the trailer. Mm-hmm. My parents always, and sometimes they don't watch it. They're like, I don't want to know anything, you know? I don't want to know whatever happens in the movie. Spoilers. Why are you watching the trailer? I'm like, I need to watch the trailer to see what is about.
Yeah, and are you interested or not? Exactly. Is it something you want to invest 2 hours of your time in? Or I don't know. I watch series a lot on Netflix, and that's like, you're investing 15 hours of your life. So, you know, you want to know what you're getting into.
So have you ever encountered with any celebrities while making trailers or in your job?
The coolest time, and it's so weird because this was not even in Hollywood, so this was super random, but I was on a job. I was working for a record label, and we were recording this musician. His name is David Darling, and he's like one of the best cellists in the world. So that's his gig. So we were up there doing that with him, and we went to go get Italian food, and I was like, just like sitting in like the waiting area, and Meryl Streep just like sits down next to me, and I'm like, oh my God. I thought I was going to pee in my pants. And I didn't say anything to her because I was like, I don't want to be that person who's like annoying, but she's like known as the best actress like in all of history. And I'm like, why are you sitting here in Connecticut eating Italian food? Like, that is just so cool.
Wow, that must have been amazing.
that was probably the most exciting one.
Mm. Can't imagine like a celebrity just sits right next to you.
Yeah, it was weird. It was super weird. But even when you live in Hollywood, you just see people like in their cars and stuff when you're
Leonardo
DiCaprio lived like next door to where I lived. I never saw him, but like but I could see his house. It was right there. Oh, there was another funny time. I was walking, there's like a little grocery store in the Hollywood Hills, and then my house was kind of like up the hill a little. And I, most people just drive everywhere in LA. They never walk, but I was like, it's not that far. I'm going to walk. So I'm holding like a million grocery bags and I'm walking up the path. And one of the Kardashians, the younger one, Khloe, is that her name?
It's Khloe. Yeah.
Khloe. Okay. She like physically like bumped into me with all of my groceries. And then she just looked at me like, don't you know who I am? And I'm like,
oh my God.
Get out of the way. Like, I'm trying to walk here. So I don't know. Wow. It's weird. Like, once you start seeing people just like, oh, look, there's so-and-so in the grocery store. Like, it's like, you start to realize, like, they're just people like we are. And some of them are cool and some of them are jerks. And like,
yeah, yeah.
The Elon Musk ones. I forgot about that. That was kind of cool.
Oh my God.
At the premiere of the film I'd worked on, Racing Extinction. And so it was him, and then next to him was Leilani Munter, who's a famous race car driver. And I was just like, well, how is this my life? This is so weird. Like, it's just like right there. Anyway.
Yeah, that's so cool. Yeah, and yeah, as you said, like, celebrities are also just humans too. Like, yeah, so yeah, I think it's very important for people to realize that too.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true. My roommate when I was living in Los Angeles is a very famous piano player, and we had worked together previously. I've had so many like weird adventures, but I lived in Montana for a while. I was working at an art center there and we became friends there. And so when we were roommates, it was like, you know, people were so weird around him because they're like, oh, it's famous. And it's like, yeah, but he's also like my friend, and like we watch movies every night, like have a beer, like I don't know, it's like he's just a guy.
but
people put other people on a pedestal so high that it, I don't know, it's a weird thing we do in our culture for sure.
Sure, you're treated differently, you know, when you're a celebrity, and that can be a good thing and also a bad thing at the same time.
Yeah for sure, I agree.
Yeah, and also I heard like your podcast, the Forward podcast. So I was reading it. I was reading the description on your website, and I saw that there were 70 actors on the.
Yeah, that was really crazy because I'd never written a script before. I'd worked in this world for a long time, but I'd never written a script. And as I'm writing the script, it's like, so there's like four main characters in my story. And if you give each of them one friend, then all of a sudden now you already have eight characters. And those are just like the main characters. And so it just keeps like growing and growing and growing. And you keep like consolidating characters to be like, well, maybe that person can also be that person and we can just make them one. But still, it just, yeah, it does end up growing and becoming this huge thing. And I recorded during COVID. So that's like not ideal to try and record 70 actors during quarantine. So I set up like a recording studio space for them. And so when they would arrive here, we would go rehearse in the backyard, 6 feet away from each other outside. And then we'd bring them inside and they had their own like little room. And so I was on a microphone and they were on a microphone and we could hear each other, but we couldn't see each other. And they would read the lines with me. So even let's say it's supposed to be a husband and a wife and I'm recording with the wife. Well, then she has to pretend I'm her husband, which is like not super realistic, but we would record our lines together. So she'd be like, well, Stuart, blah, 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 blah. And I'd be like, yes, my wife, ha, ha, ha. It was weird, but it actually worked because in the end, it felt like all the actors, it felt like they were talking to somebody. They were just talking to the wrong person. So then I would cut out myself and replace myself with the right actor because they all recorded one at a time, not with each other. And it was like a gigantic puzzle of like hundreds of thousands probably of clips.
That must have taken so much work, like, yeah, because oh my God, yeah, especially during COVID, it must have been so hard, and like putting all the pieces together. That's amazing.
So much easier for like the three of us to record together in the same room, and then we can like have chemistry and like bounce off of each other, but really I'd be recording with each of you separately and then we'd put it together at the last minute.
Yeah, it must have been. Yeah, it must have been really hard because I didn't know it was during COVID. I thought maybe it's like pre-record, pre-COVID times. Because like when I listened to it, it seemed so realistic, and my imagination was just like, you know, just running. So
okay, let me ask you: when you listen, do you like picture the characters in your head? Do you like picture the scenery and picture, the scenery?
Yeah, I picture them like two people like talking at like, there's two people talking, I picture them.
I read an article the other day that said that like 50% of people or something, they don't do that when they like read books. They don't like picture the characters, and I totally do. How else would you read a book with characters and not like picture them and like give them like character?
Yeah.
But I think that's kind of the cool thing about the podcast, because it's different than your guys's podcast for your audience who hasn't heard it before. It's an audio drama, which is basically like watching a TV show without being able to see the screen. So you hear all the characters talking to each other, they're in different settings, you know, you've heard it, so you know. But yeah, so because of that, I find myself picturing like, okay, this is what I think the building looks like, and this is what this classroom looks like, and this is what, you know, because they're always moving from place to place. And it's funny because I just heard from a network that wants to see a pitch deck, which is like a proposal for season 2, and so I had to go find like pictures of the characters, and it was so weird to like go on the internet and be like, what is the fictionalized version of Stuart look like? Yeah. I don't know. And probably everyone pictures him differently, because, you know,
he's a
fictionalized person and he's based on a real person, but, you know, an actor's gonna play him, so like what does the actor look like who plays him? I don't know.
Yeah, that's also really cool, like how everyone can picture differently, how they listen to it, and they have their own different imaginations, and they can picture the story differently, and I think that's really cool.
I think so too. I think it's kind of a cool, like, I don't think we often get to use that part of our brain, you know, in 2021. It's just not a thing we get to do very often, especially like when you're like your age or my age, that at some point, like, it's kind of expected that you don't like play anymore and like be silly. And I like the idea that forward is this thing where you have to use your imagination, you have to tap into that part of your brain where you're like creating and imagining, and I don't know, I think that's kind of cool.
But did you have did you want to make it a TV show? Because when I listened to it, like, my friends and I were calling, and she listened to it too. She works on our team, she's the artist of our, you know, podcast. She
cool
around everything, and she actually helped with the script as well, and she was telling me like, oh, ask Taylor if she you know, why did you choose to make a podcast rather than a TV show?
I want it to be a TV show. So that is the long-term plan. So I'm writing like a revised script that will be proposed to like a Netflix eventually. After having lived in Los Angeles, like literally everyone has a script, like everyone. You get in your Uber and they have a script for you. Like everyone has a script. And so the people who are in charge don't have time to read a million scripts. So I thought, what if I could create this on my own? Which I had like the budget and the time to do independently. And then when people are driving on their very long commutes, because that is the case in LA, they can listen to it in their headphones. People listen to podcasts on their drives in LA. So that was my alternative to a script. And I thought that might be a better way to get it into the hands of the right person, with also hopes that if I prove that it has an audience, then like a big production network would be more likely to be like, oh yeah, okay, cool. Like there's already an audience who's interested in the subject matter. So that's, your friend is right on. I think that would be so cool. And that's kind of why it's already written like a TV script or pretty close to it. So I'm working on the script now for what it would be if it was a television series, which is a little bit of a prequel to season 1. It has part of season 1 in it, but anyway, yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah, that's very interesting. Yeah, if it turns to a TV show, I definitely watch it, because it already interests me. It was like really intriguing to listen to the first couple episodes.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for listening to part 1. Make sure to listen to part 2, where Taylor talks about the school shooting that happened in 2006.